This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
During the summertime when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Brainstuff from How Stuff Works.
Hey, Brainstuff, it's Christian Sager. After President Trump referred to Kim Jong-un as Rocket Man during a speech at the United Nations, the North Korean Supreme Leader issued a statement referring to Trump as a, quote, mentally deranged U.S. dotard. According to reports, North Korea's communications team has been known to actually use out-of-date English-Korean dictionaries for translation. So maybe there's something to the 45th American president's claims that he has the best words. Regardless, if nothing else comes out of this latest incident, at least the word dotard is having a moment. Here's what it means, as well as a few more insulting terms that have gone the way of the dodo, but that we're hoping at some point will enjoy their own renaissance. So Kim Jong-un called Donald Trump a dotard. What is that exactly? The term goes back to the 1300s and means someone who's in his or her dotage, which, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is, quote, a state or period of senile decay marked by decline of mental poise and alertness. In recent years, dotard has primarily shown up in writing about the arts. Have you ever met someone who sticks to their ways despite being shown better or more correct approaches? Perhaps you've got that relative who just prefers not to use smartphone shortcuts or hotkey combinations on their laptop. Congrats! You are related to a mumpsimus. Merriam-Webster suggests that the etymology of mumpsimus goes back to an illiterate priest who mistakenly used the term in place of the Latin word sumpsimus, which means we have taken. He did this during a mass ritual, but refused to correct himself even after the error was pointed out. Now, everyone's got that pedantic friend who only interrupts or chimes in to correct another person. You may call them nitpicky know-it-alls who live to contradict with an irritating, well, technically, or just plain old mansplainers. But why not call them a snout band? That is the forgotten old English insult, and that's what it means, snout band. The medlar, however, is a type of hard-skinned fruit with a gaping, open apex. And the only time it's soft enough to eat is when it's on the verge of going bad. So it was often associated with rottenness and showed up in insulting references to prostitution, genitals, and rear ends. In post-Renaissance England, medlars were often called open arses due to their appearance, making for plenty of wordplay and insult potential in poems and plays. Shakespeare in particular enjoyed the medlar, using the word as a pun on meddler in Timon of Athens and for some of Mercutio's teasing of Romeo in Romeo and Juliet. Jokes about medlars appeared even earlier than that, though, popping up in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales in the late 14th century. But what do you call someone who, shrewd and cunning as they may be, seems to be motivated by no principles whatsoever, especially if that someone is in politics? Well, snollygoster is the term you're looking for, popularized in the 1890s by the Georgia politician Colonel H.J. W. Ham. The term goes back at least a half decade more than that. An 1895 Ohio newspaper defined it thusly, quote, "A snollygoster is a fellow who wants office, regardless of party, platform, or principles, and who, whenever he wins, gets there by the sheer amount of monumental tocnifical assumancy." Whew! Snollygoster disappeared for much of the 20th century, but enjoyed a brief resurgence during President Harry S. Truman's 1952 re-election campaign when he used the term in reference to other candidates. And here's our last one. You want to insult someone's cooking? Call that plate in front of you a slumgullion. The word's gone through some changes over its lifespan, but today it means an unappetizing or cheaply made stew. In 1851's Moby Dick, Herman Melville used the phrase slobgullion to refer to the waste from processing whale carcasses, and the word slumgullion shows up that same decade in miners' diaries describing a slurry leftover from mining gold. In 1872, when Mark Twain used the word in his semi-autobiographical book Roughing It, he was using it to refer to a disgusting beverage, and within two decades, it was used to refer to muddy-looking stews. Today's episode was written by Christopher Hasiotis, produced by Tristan McNeil, and for more on this and other topics, please visit us at howstuffworks.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.